So hey y'all, what's going on? This is the legendary one and only Rob Pimpton here. We about to pop it off. We got Tom, he representing Huff. He about to tell y'all his story. You know I got my hostess with the mostest, Keisha. She ready to do the thing. Keisha, you want to introduce this guy and get this thing popping?
Absolutely. This is one of my dearest friends brother.
Ma'am.
I've known him for so long. And he's very, very special in my eyes. He has excellent life experiences and a lot to tell today about his first case and experiences with the criminal justice system. So, Tone.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm glad to be here, and I thank you for having me. But I just wanted to clear something up. It could be a plenty of tones on Huff, so I'm cool ass tone for anybody that needs to know this.
Absolutely.
And we can take it from there.
I love cool it. Ass. Yes, he is cool ass tone.
Yes.
Okay, so Tone, the purpose of our podcast, basically, we focus on reentry and issues that affect anybody that came in contact
Absolutely.
With the criminal justice system. Tell our audience how you caught your first case.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so by the time I came from the, remember I was telling you about the VA hospital, And now I'm 18. I didn't graduate from high school. And I had told myself, I like, you know, because everybody was selling drugs at 16, 17, 15. But I told myself, since my mother wanted that diploma, that I wasn't going to sell no drugs till I turned 18. And I actually caught my first case 7 days after I turned 18. That's the crazy part.
Seven days?
Yeah, about 7-8 days after I turned 18.
So you said.
So be careful what you wish for.
So what you're saying is you set a goal. You knew you were going to sell drugs.
Thank you.
But you said that you were actually going to wait till you got
Absolutely.
18.
Absolutely.
Which meant you would have been in the adult system.
Yes.
Prior to.
Yes. Because I never had a juvenile case. Never been a juvenile. And I didn't want to. I didn't. By me being grown, this wouldn't be on my mind.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm 18. I'm grown now. Whatever happened to me, I got to take care of it. That's my mind state. You know, I know I'm hitting the streets, Rob. You feel me?
That was a very adult way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, because like, you know, in my interview, I caught my case as a juvenile. And I know a lot of us, that's where it usually starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many numbers do you have? Because I think typically when you catch your case later, you really don't have as many, you know what I'm saying? We was talking about the correlation of coming in the system as a juvenile and
graduating. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you don't mind me asking, Tom, how many numbers do you have?
Okay, and by numbers, Rob, you mean how many times?
Yeah, how many prison sentences, how many times have you been sentenced to the prison system or in, anybody know, we'll call it Lorain Correctional. Because some numbers, sometimes you'll go get a prison number and you'll do minimal time. That's them just wanting to get you a number, which they're paid for. You know what I'm saying? Each time you
To me, that was the fortunate guys. I was unfortunate because I could never just get a number and come back out.
I'm one of those, too.
You know what I'm saying?
So how many numbers do you have?
I got two.
Wow.
Okay, and all right, so
the first time was when I went to Mansfield, Ohio, and you was there.
Yeah, so I remember that plain and simple. We was in the camp. I was doing something small. Yeah, I was doing like 10, 11 months for a drug case, and I remember it. You know what I'm saying?
I walked through the door.
You was limping. You know, that's why I had to ask about the accident. He had a little limp. He walked through the door. You know, I was happy to, you know, you never happy to see your dude, but you away from home. So to see a familiar face, it's like, oh, you know, so, you know, helped him come.
Yeah, I was doing 2 years on that one.
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
And you said you were doing how long, right?
I was doing 10 months.
He probably was halfway done by the time I got there.
Okay.
Yep. So tell us what led about to you catching that case. And
Well, I could tell you what led to that one, but I still just want to get the first case out the way because we still getting sidetracked.
Thank you.
I don't know how y'all doing this, but
I appreciate it.
The first case, I was 18. Mm-hmm. And we were selling rocks then. My dude had hit me to the right. He like, man, you wanna get into this money thing? I'm like, yeah, man. Rest in peace, my nigga Goo, man. Rest
he
in peace.
He passed away?
Yeah, he passed away back in 88, 89. But that was my dude. And he was like the forefront of Huff, like for real. Like, everybody looked up to Goo. He held the hood together. Like, nigga, you wouldn't. Like, if we went out and had some gang fights, he and you didn't fight, when we got back to the hood, you got your ass whooped.
Oh, wow.
It was flat out. There ain't nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, why you ain't help us fight? We way over here on Cedar. We way over here on St. Clair, and we all bugging. So you would rather fight outside the hood than get back and get your ass whooped by Goo, or then he going to have a couple other niggas whoop you, too.
So why would you have to fight?
What do you mean?
You said, like, if you were outside of the hood and you had
oh, well, fight, you know, back then, like, it was like, it ain't, this ain't no, Cleveland ain't no, I don't know why they getting it twisted and all that. This ain't no red and blue L.A. Crip type thing. Back in our day, it was just your neighborhood.
Okay.
Flat out. It wasn't about no colors. It ain't about no boom. You know what I'm saying? It was about just your neighborhood. You was holding your hood down. Mm-hmm. Flat out.
And what he means is, if we fought, we all fought, like, mm-hmm. you know, if it's Cedar against Huff, you're going to represent Huff. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be a coward. You represent your hood. So okay. It's like, if Goo's fighting, Tone's fighting. Okay. So if Goo fighting and Tone not fighting, and he come back to the hood, you didn't fight, now you got to deal with, you know.
Yeah, I can't be sitting around the hood still calling Huff, but I didn't help fight.
Okay, so basically you have to guard and represent your territory.
Exactly. And okay. Then you got to think, Keisha, they all put us different neighborhoods in the same schools.
Mm-hmm.
You got 4 or 5 different neighborhoods in one school. Am I right, Rod? Mm-hmm. It's going down. So people got, back then, you got to represent your hood.
Mm-hmm.
Just give, for example, just say you got Huff, Cedar, down the way, in St. Clair in one school. I mean, it wasn't like that, but I'm just giving you an example. But we got different neighbors, and so we all got to stand for, you know, that was back then. You know, it's different now. But anyway, so he told me how to tell the rock. So we standing on Huff on 9th 3rd, I'll never forget. We stood on 9th 3rd and Huff, and back then we used to keep the $20 rocks in plastic bags, these little plastic bags.
Can you define rocks, please?
Rocks is cocaine that comes in the powder form, which is meaning that, if you don't know, powder is like, we're just going to say flour.
Okay.
And say you take flour and you add water to, what it do? It lumps up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it lumps up, it gets hard, and then you can cut it into tiny little rocks.
Okay.
And with that being said, it's freebase. So instead of snorting it or shooting it,
right,
this what made this drug so addictive. It was in a rock form, and it's freebase.
Yes.
So it was literally more addictive than regular cocaine. So
yeah,
you put it in the rock form, you cooked it up, and that's what made it. Go ahead, though, Tom.
No, because he right, because the powder is like you put it up your nose or do some stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But the rock thing, you needed a pipe to smoke it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was way more, what they say is that it hit faster. The high was greater. You know what I'm saying? And they only high for like 15, 20 minutes, and they coming right back. So suppose if you snort some cocaine, which this is what I heard, I never tried it, but if you put some powder up your nose, you have for hours.
Oh wow!
You don't want that. You don't
exact
want.
Time.
But you don't want that. You want them to keep coming back, so you can get that bread. You understand what I'm saying? Bread meaning money,
and that meaning that's where the word fiend came from, because the euphoric feel of crack cocaine, it wasn't merely the addiction. It's euphoria, the first feeling of them getting high. So that's translates into the word fiend, because they needed it and they was chasing
exactly,
the high.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, so when crack came in, they were more, we called them fiends, but can you elaborate on that a little bit and help them, because I can't find the right word.
Fiending meaning that you gotta have it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no limit to what you would do to get it. This is the definition of fiends. Like, you fiending me, ain't no limit to getting it. You'll sell your mama. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, no, she for sale, buddy. You want her? Give me a 20. You know what I'm saying? Like real talk. Like, for real. Sell your kids, your car, anything. That's what the word fiend mean, Keisha. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just out of your normal expectations of doing a thing. Like, you know Keisha got a regular schedule, and not calling you a fan, Keisha, but I'm just giving you an example. You know she goes to work, she feeds her kids, and she's doing this, but now she's on the crack, and shit is off balance. I ain't never seen Keisha kids all dirty like that.
Oh, wow.
Keisha just, she outside selling their microwave. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's called fiending.
That's terrible. One thing I want to mention now that we're on the subject, too, mm-hmm. is the discrepancies, the disparities between a person who, as you mentioned, cocaine is pure and crack is a little bit watered mm-hmm. down, for lack of a better way of putting it. You got more time under the Reagan administration if you sold crack versus if you sold cocaine. Clearly. And we know that cocaine was mostly sold and solicited in suburban areas versus crack was more sold and solicited in urban areas.
Good one.
However, although the crack was a lower concentration of cocaine, because as you just said, it was mixed with, you said baking soda?
Baking soda.
And right, and water or whatever
water
it was.
And heat.
So it was less potent than cocaine. However, if you got caught with crack, you got far more time than you would if you got caught with cocaine. So I think it's very important to bring that point.
I wouldn't actually say it was less potent, Keisha.
Mm-hmm.
It just was the high lasted longer.
Yeah.
Because they both probably was stronger. But so I guess you can say because the cocaine high went down quicker.
Well, the point is that it's making, the same thing.
Yeah, and how they targeted our demographic for having crack. Because it was so you can get caught with 1 ounce of crack opposed to a person getting caught with 1 ounce of pure cut heroin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and we're talking about Reaganomics now. You know, Reagan let it in. You know, that was his thing. You know, he funded everything with the crack. We did that. So, you know what I mean? That's the difference right there. You know what I'm saying? It's our demographic.
So what you trying to ask, Keisha, like, do we think that we was really targeted for that kind of, like, exposure or whatever?
I wouldn't necessarily say targeted. I just wanted to make sure I highlighted a very important piece to this in reference to the discrepancies. You have the same thing, really one thing that's a little less potent than the other. However, this one thing would get you more time versus this other thing. And let's just look at the demographics. Who's more likely to be affected by crack versus who's more likely to be affected by cocaine? How much time or maybe even concentration of experience having crack cocaine in conjunction or in contrast to regular cocaine.
Well,
when
brain
I say time,
is,
I mean time in the system.
My brain is racing right now. I mean to cut you off. My brain is racing right now, and I see what you're trying to get at, and I really not, but the powder was socially acceptable. It really was until they created the crack, and then the crack went back out to the suburbs and started hitting their kids.
And that's when it became an epidemic. And
that's when it became an epidemic.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
it was an epidemic. It started down, you know,
damn.
The crack. But when it
touched them,
it's an epidemic. Just like we are right now with a heroin epidemic because it's reaching their communities and their kids.
Thank
and,
you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when we killing each other and we doing these large numbers, or it's just, you know,
it's cool.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
It's supposed to be cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no,
it was
no.
rampant for quite some time in urban areas. And I get what you're saying. Thanks for clarifying that for me. But once it spread out, then the whole ideal of it, the whole reference of it became, as Rob said, an epidemic.
So let me ask you a question. Are you not getting off the subject or nothing, but are you with Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, or All Lives Matter?
I would have to say at this point, All Lives Matter.
Exactly. That's where I'm at. All right.
So, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you catch your first case?
Okay, thank you, sir. So, Goo was showing me how to sell the rocks, because I didn't know. So, we standing on 93rd and Huff, and I'm talking about the block jumping. It's like New York, New Jack City. Cars rolling. I ain't never seen nothing like that. You got mine? I'm only 18. You feel me? And I'm standing next to him, and he give me a... He like, look, take this rock, which was in a little plastic Ziploc bag, and go over there and give it to him and get $20. I said, that's all I got to do?
Oh, wow.
He's like, yeah, that's all you got to do. I said, wow. I did that, came back. I was hooked. It was over with. It was fucking over with. Right? You know what I'm saying, Bleed? I ain't tripping or nothing. Next thing you know, he done fronted me a quarter.
A quarter ounce
of dope. Okay. I mean, you know, I wanted to break it down. Was it in
crack form or was it already rocked up?
It was in.
You mean powder form?
Powder form or
no? It was already rocked up.
Okay.
See, I was the type of guy like, I was never no freeway guy. You know, you got them dudes that like to jump out of town and get on the freeway and go get their shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm a inner city hustler. Bring it to me and I'ma sell it.
Okay.
You understand me? And I didn't care if it was hard or soft. Either I'ma find a way to rock it up or I'm gonna sell it how I can. Back then I used to just like to buy my shit hard, already ready, cut it up, boo boo boo. If it was hard if it was hard, you know, some niggas start selling bad dope. You know what I'm saying? I could get it off. I wasn't like that. So at this time, I'm serving my own dope now. You know what I'm saying? I'm buying a quarter. Back then, quarters was $250. Mm-hmm. I buy a quarter, you make five. Like back then, you doubled your money. For real. $500. Make an extra $250. So one day, I'm ready on my regular routine. And this is like 8 days before my birthday. My birthday's September 16th, so you take 8 days off of that. No, matter of fact, I apologize. I'm going to go back. My birthday already passed. I turned 18. This is 8 days after my birthday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm doing my regular routine. I go up on Hub. We in the hallways. So we used to play the hallways. Look out for the police. Look out for the Vice. You know, it was Vice days back then, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Vice come all day. We knew that. We know how to duck and dodge them all week. But Tuesday and Thursday, they might surprise us on a lucky Saturday. And we be like, what the fuck just happened? But anyway, we in the hallway. It's like five of us. We ducking out. And back then, we used to take turns. Taking turns was, so everybody can get some money, Rob. You familiar with that?
Yeah, I know.
Everybody get some money. You got seven rocks. He got seven rocks. He got seven rocks. We going, boom, it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. It was loyalty back then. I don't know what these young niggas doing there.
Equality.
Yeah. We all out here risking our lives. We all out here need to get some money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was my turn. And the fiend came up and I served him. No, matter of fact, I take that back. It wasn't my turn. It was, Cool Breeze turn.
I remember Cool Breeze.
Cool Breeze. He served the fiend, and the fiend left. And 10 minutes later, the Vice was at both doors because the fiend that he served was actually undercover.
Oh, wow.
But we in the hallway.
Okay.
So they break through the back door. Mm-hmm. I run out the front door. I said, they ain't about to get me. And I got like eight rocks in my hand, and I take the motherfucking rock and I step in front of the building and I throw them as hard as I can. They got to find them motherfuckers. Now, mind you, Keisha, you forget, the rocks was in little plastic bags.
Right.
Them bitches floated down to my feet.
Oh, wow.
They floated down to my feet. I'm talking about I threw them rocks with all my strength. I ain't thinking that they in the bags. I'm just trying to get rid of, but if they wasn't in the bags, they would have had a hell of time finding them.
Right.
That's when we really got rid of the plastic bags. I think I was the beginning of that one.
But
them bitches floated down straight to my feet. I said, oh, wow. Man, they took me in the hallway, collected the rocks, beat the shit out of me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they put their foot on my neck and everything. Just the first dope case.
Were you resisting or are they just...
I mean, shit, I don't know. It probably was, you know.
Okay.
I was 18. I don't know. I was, but yeah, went to jail. Me, Cool Breeze, and Cool Breeze's cousin. And now they in jail. We all got the cases. Everybody supposed to be manning up because they found rocks on them and everything, too. And I'll never forget Cool Breeze's cousin. His name was Ricky. He hurt Ricardo or something. His mama fought at me for him going to jail in the hallway selling rocks because he was with me.
Was he selling?
Yes. We all were selling, but I ain't got nothing to do with him. We all hustling, but I was probably the oldest.
And all of y'all were adults at the time?
I was 18. Ricky. We all was 18.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, we were always 18. We went to jail and everything. And my bond, I'll never forget, my bond was $500 or $300 or something like that. But this is a little story that I'm sliding this one in. So I'm in jail. I was in jail for 7 days. I'll never forget. And I'm in the cell. And Keisha, you know, you might want to take your headphones off, cut your ears, but you know, this your show. My man started leaking.
Leaking?
You know what my man's is?
No.
Do you want to know? Because it's your show.
Yeah. We all want to know.
I was burning.
What? Oh, burning?
I'm in jail at 18. Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Oh, wow. So you had no idea you had it before you went into jail?
No, I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? But you know, now my body resting. I'm waiting on the bond.
Okay.
The thing flowing. Yes, that's it. And I'm in this motherfucker burning. On top of a drug case with a bond.
So did you notify any of the jail staff? Or
no. No.
So you just suffered on fire downstairs?
See, here you go. Yes. What I did, the first thing I did is I picked up the phone and I called Goo.
Goo?
Goo was the dude that showed me how to sell dope.
Okay.
Call him. He's like, what's up, man? I said, man, at my bond, so-and-so, give me y'all. I said, but fuck that. Go find, I'm not going to say her name because she deceased now. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And I said, go find so-and-so because that's the last person I had sex with and she burnt me. I'm in here fucking burning. Go beat the shit out that bitch. Like, oh, for real. Wow. I was like, for real. Yeah. They ain't touch her. They ain't do nothing. But you know, yeah. And yeah. I got my bond paid and I got out. And my mama told me, like, this is the lifestyle you want to live. I'm never, ever bonding you out or nothing. You get yourself in trouble, you're going to get yourself out of trouble. I said, wow, Ma, that's how you feel? I'm out here hustling. She's like, I wanted better things for you. And this is what you want to do, so that's what you're going to do. And I swear to God, to this day, not nan bond my mama ever paid since I ever been getting in trouble. And I, you know, I respect that.
Did you, after, I'm assuming you got in trouble after that?
Oh, yeah, that was 18.
Did you solicit her assistance and she just said no?
What you mean, solicit her assistance?
I mean, did you ask her, hey, Mom, I'm in jail. It was after the first time. And she just said,
well, she had already put in my head that she wasn't going to help me.
So you knew that wasn't an option.
It wasn't an option. I probably did. If I want to remember back, I'm like, well, Mom, you know, get so-and-so 200. You know what I'm saying? My bond 1,000. You know what I'm saying? I probably did because I'm still Mama's boy. You feel me? But she never paid none of my bonds. Not one. And Keisha, to this date right now, I got 15 felonies.
Okay, Tom. So you said you speak a lot on your mom. So were you did you come up in a single parent household or
yes.
It was just, okay.
Yes. It was just me, my mom, and my brother. Right. I never knew my dad. And then if you think about, and I'm kinda glad I'm doing this interview with y'all just to spill a little things and how y'all break it up and be cool. But think about this, Keisha. My dad, never knew him, only seen him 2 times in my life until I got older. I started seeing him more, but he's a full-fledged super-duper heroin addict.
An addict?
Super-duper heroin addict since the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
So but that, you know, that was socially acceptable back then. They was doing that shit back then.
But it not really, but so does that has to play a part in his absence then, do you think, or?
What do you mean?
Knowing what you know, you said you came up from a single parent household,
mm-hmm.
and he was absent. Do you think his addiction made him an absentee father?
Yes, I do think that, and I also think that once I got addicted to the PCP, it has something to do with it in my bloodstream because the high of PCP is something similar to the high of heroin. People say I never did heroin before, but. You know, the flipping out, and you know what I'm saying, whatever. It was in my bloodstream. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to love doing PCP.
So,
I never did 2 drugs in my life. Only 2 drugs I ever did was weed and PCP.
So basically what you're saying is you felt like you kind of inherited.
There you go, Rob. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, so you kind of inherited the addictive nature.
It's addiction, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For real, that's where I'm glad you said that you put it perfectly. Yeah, I really feel that. And Rob, I learned that from going to jail and coming out and having to do the meetings. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes when you get released from jail, you got to do the
A-A-N-A
and all that. And you learn stuff in there.
You do. You actually do.
If you're in there bullshitting, you're bullshitting. But you do learn stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I done been to plenty AA meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I done been to plenty NA meetings. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk, dude. Like, real talk.
I hear you.
I actually haven't applied the steps to my life because, you know, I still got this thing in my mind that I could do this on my own. And I am. I'm a super, super duper cold turkey dude. Mm-hmm. When I stop something, I stop it. Example, 12 months ago, I stopped smoking cigarettes. Need no help, no nothing. I just stopped.
What made you stop?
Shit, first of all, my breath was stinking.
That'll do it.
That'll do it on a big dog. But yeah. Let me tell you this. 16 years ago, stopped smoking PCP. No meetings, no nothing. Yeah.
What made you choose to stop smoking PCP? Like, was it what was going on around you? Did you just outgrow it? Was it, you know, becoming not as cool?
I'm glad you asked that. Basically, what really happened, there's two things that I'm going to tell y'all. The feds was on our block, meaning Huff, like a motherfucker. They was on that bitch tough. You remember we was called the $1 million block at one point in time?
$1 million block?
The $1 million block. They said we made $1 million on that damn block.
Ooh, who said
I was
that?
In the mix, Carl Monday, because Carl Monday came on Huff and secretly bought a dip square from this dude called Lil Larry. He in jail right now. He'll be getting out in a minute.
Okay, who is Carl Monday?
He from the news. What channel is that right?
Carl Monday is actually, he's a highly known investigative reporter, locally known in the Cleveland area. He's an investigative reporter who does a lot of sneaky stuff. He investigates crooked landlords,
yes,
blocks, such
drugs,
as hugs, everything.
Everything.
He's infamous.
But he'll go undercover not knowing that you're there, and he'll have a secret camera on his belt buckle if he got to.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to the block because he heard through whatever, the snitches, whoever, that we were selling a lot of PCP over there. Because you got to think, mind you, I just wasn't a PCP user. I was a PCP hustler once we transferred from crack to PCP. Because to keep it 1,000, I'll never forget this story. Rob, your block was the PCP block.
Yeah.
Keep it 1,000.
Because I'm going to go back a little bit off what you said. The transition from dip cigarettes and... I was in the midst of that, you know what I'm saying, when it went from joints to cigarettes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we had our, you know, they had, Huff became known for Waterworld, but we was making a lot of money, you know, just to sum it up, a lot of money off of PCP prior to Waterworld.
Okay.
So the joints were still popular when we was doing our thing. We was going, but it was joints. So it was just jumping to the point where we didn't even have time to roll up joints. So we was trying to influence our customers to purchase the cigarettes because it was quicker for us to dip the cigarette than to roll up the joints. And it was cheaper than buying it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so there in part, that's where a lot of people started to switch over to the cigarettes because they like, you know, if you coming down case, all right, we're going to sell you squares because we don't have time to keep going to the bud, rolling it up, then dipping it. We're trying to get you in and out of here. So we started dipping squares.
Dang.
It
cool.
Yep, and it was quicker.
Crazy. That was good info right there.
Yeah, yep. And that's real facts because I know the routes on, I mean, not the routes, but, you know, which block became anonymous at what time, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
A lot of people came to the game later when it was like Waterworld.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to Waterworld, Case had it popping. Then you had Bundy, the Browns. You know what I'm saying? Then you had, you know, I go way back. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
And the Vice, I'll never forget one day, we standing on the Waterworld when we was transitioning from crack to PCP. And it's about 10 of us standing in front of the Amesbury. Anybody know Cleveland? They know what the Amesbury is because it's Waterworld. And the Vice pull up. And it's four of them. They got out the car like, look, tell y'all something right now. What is y'all doing? We're like, what? She's like, come on, man. Y'all don't know nothing about no damn water. Y'all sell crack over here. Put that shit down and let them down the way niggas handle that shit. I swear to God, on anything I love. Mm-hmm. I'm flabbergasted, Keisha, at the time. I'm like, huh? They know more than what we think they do. I'm just lost of words. I'm like, damn. We laughing it off, playing it off, but they got a bigger plan for us anyway.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, it's going down like that. But did I take that to heed? Did I stop then? No, I transitioned right to that PCP. See, when I went to those meetings, the lady told me, you use PCP, but you're not addicted to PCP. I'm like, lady, what you mean? She said, from describing your stories and you coming to this meeting, you addicted to the hustle. You just happen to like to use it. But you not really addicted to water. You addicted to the hustle. It kind of made sense. Because I wasn't no regular dude just buying a $20 stick, a $10 stick. I was spending $3,000 on water. $1,200 on water. Serving this shit and saving the last two squares for me so I can go party. I got 2-3 cars and polo and everything. So I wasn't no water head. I mean, I was, to keep it for real. Yeah. Like on my block, we had a thing. If you bought less than a 0.5 ounce, you was a water head. They don't come around buying no $100 bottles thinking too much you hustling, nigga. No.
Impossible.
Yeah. You bought anything less than a 0.5 ounce, and then back then, ounces was 500 and halves was 250. Mm-hmm. If you spent less than 250, nigga, you smoking. Yeah. No, it's just
so that was
just
the standard.
Yeah, you can't not spend less than 250 and try to come. You come to me like example, not to say Rob come to me. Rob, boom, he up here, right? Things happen. Rob spending $1,000 with me. Then the next day he's spending $500. Then he go back to $1,000. The next day $500. Then like the next month he down to 250. He's still cool because bills come around. He taking care of his people's, you know, his kids, whatever. But now he's like, damn, I'm just gonna flip this $100. Don't I just need $100. Now I'm like, what you mean you got it? I gave you enough to make more than what you needed to make, and now you're down to $100.
Oh, Tom, you know what's going on.
You know what's going on. We
did the math. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like the one dude, he come like, yeah, let me get this. I got a little trick
right on there.
But yeah, Tom, I want to ask you your first case and your last case.
Okay.
Do they correlate? Are they in any way, form, shape, or fashion related?
Good question. Good question. And to answer that question, they actually do, but it was two different drugs. Because remember, we graduated to the water.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
See, the first one was crack. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But now, by the time I got the last case, it wasn't no crack involved. So now, man, let me get y'all straight so y'all can understand. My first number was due to the crack, but I ran for 5 years. So I did my first time off a crack case. My second number was off water. You understand what I'm saying? Cause
see, this is like, if anybody's going to follow this podcast, a lot of our interviews are going to be coincidental, and they're going to coincide. So if you listen to mine, we both was addicted to the hustle. And what I told Keisha was, too much of anything makes you an addict. So no matter what the hustle is, you know what I'm saying, whatever we're doing to, you know what I'm saying, get money, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get it. You know what I'm saying? That's just a nature of a hustler, you know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you wasn't really addicted to the drug. But like in my interview, I told her, like, you know what I'm saying, too much of anything makes you an addict.
Exactly.
So, you know, us saving that last square, you know what I'm saying, then, you know, you want to stay up late. You want to, you know, you might want to see a little lady, you know, how that might work out.
Because back then, that made you go all night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than Viagra, is what you're saying?
It was back then. I swear. Yeah. She had no understanding. Don't get the lady that didn't know what was going on.
Right.
She didn't know nothing about water. Oh, yeah. You really was going on.
You went.
Okay. Yeah. I got a question. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
First, you said that the police had a plan. When you were talking about, they said to you guys, let them dudes from down the way sell out wet. they had a plan for us. What do you think that plan was?
Well, I mean, they actually knew that, first of all, whatever they were saying, it was unstoppable. We were going to transition anyway.
Okay.
So they had to just switch gears. Basically, they didn't want it to make it hard for us, like, because at the end of the day, they knew the Down the Way niggas was a little more advanced than us. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it, because they were bent on water. Mm-hmm. We used to go down there and buy our water. Mm-hmm. Like, keep it for real. We selling crack. We used to come down there and going on case. Why don't we get to selling our whole crack package? But you got to think, crack is slower than water.
Yeah.
Heroin is slower, I mean, faster than crack. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they was moving their shit faster. Mm-hmm. And we was moving our crack slower. And we like, man, we tired of this crack shit, nigga.
And it was an error. It was an error, like, when Master P, all of it came out. But
Master P.
Yeah, Master P, he's the rapper. He had a song called Bout It Body. He said, I got killers in the project selling water. But it was around that time when a lot of guys transitioned from marijuana to PCP. So the crack users, or the crack sellers, excuse me, the crack sellers, the money that they made off of crack, they was spending it on PCP. Exactly. So that fast money was just, you know, and there was so many dope dealers, and you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
In the hood, so they was just, you know.
To go back to what you said.
And it wasn't a lot of PCP blocks. So that's what made PCP blocks jump so hard. You know what I'm saying? You got one PCP block, but every block sell crack. You know what I mean, Tom?
Right.
So
right.
Like every dope boy, you know, I had dudes from Elyria, Lorraine. I had working guys, you know what I'm saying? They was coming from everywhere. Huff, EC. You know what I'm saying? It was like clockwork, you know what I'm saying? So for y'all to transition, it was the smart thing because there was more people using it, you know what I mean?
That was like, in business terms, catering to your market. Your market was changing. Mm-hmm. So you're actually changing with the market. The demand for water increased greater than demand for crack. And I guess crack, the monetary value of it decreased because you had this thing with water, which increased. But I'm curious to know, do you think that increase had anything to do with the fact that it was not just something that's being sold, but also something that's being used by the same people who were marketing and distributing?
Well, see, you know where I'm from, and Rob will tell you this because, you know, Down the Way and Huff, we always connected, and we got into it, but we still always hung out. But our block is, we've always been advanced and we was hustlers. And at the end of the day, the crack didn't slow down. We didn't give a damn about it no more. We knew, and the crackheads didn't want us to stop selling crack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But the man was still there.
Yeah, the man was still there. Okay. We like, fuck that demand. This demand is
faster.
And is,
as opposed to a 20 route.
The market.
And they got, you know, it's 30 a square. You know what I'm saying? Fames, you know, well, as we already told y'all about Fames, you know, they coming with 10 now. Like, you know, you got my people who's selling dope. And so they're going to treat themselves. They're going to spend the whole $30 for that square. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A crackhead trying to get something for $5 and all that. 10. You don't have time, 10. And you know what I'm saying? And you got dudes who you know who got a real pocket full of money buying this. These dudes, they wasn't, you know, like a
crackhead.
Actually,
we tried to cater to our what's the word I'm looking for, Rob? Our youth, our generation.
Yeah.
You know, because most crackheads was older dudes, okay, older aunties, older that. But most waterheads is our hustlers.
Peers. Yeah, that was our peers
our
at the time.
Peers.
Our peers
at the time.
So that's what I mean by when faster. I said that you transitioned and you actually had a greater population of consumers.
Yes.
It okay. Was gone. I got one question that I'm very curious of. That I should have asked you, Rob, but since you're here, I'll ask you now, and Tone as well. What was the greatest amount of profit that you feel you made from hustling? If you could think back, what was the largest amount of cash that you made?
You want to go first, Rob?
Yeah, I I wouldn't never, you know, I'm so humble, I would never disclose that type of information. I mean, it's a great question, you know what I'm saying? But I can, you know, I've been up, I've been down, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I just wouldn't disclose it, you know what I'm saying? Just for humility purposes, that ain't the type of dude I am. But I can say, like, you know what I'm saying, in one day off of PCP, I've made, I don't get into the numbers, and I don't even feel right sharing that over a microphone because it's not who I am. But, I mean, I had some good days, and people would be like, oh, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. why I won't, you know what I'm saying, on some people, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, I mean, and I've had, I'm talking about glorious days where I'm gone. Like, I couldn't believe it. Oh, where, wow. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know.
So would you say it was an amount that allowed you upward to be thousands, comfortable?
Look, I brought home, off of the PCP, I've brought home on a block day upwards a few thousand, 3, 35, 4,000.
So now you're talking for one day?
For one day.
Yeah, but you...
It's not all profit, but it was just a take.
Because you got to make your money back. But anyway... That's good. Let him roll, because either you disclosed it or you're not.
I mean, she dug deep, man. I was trying not to, but she went hard, man.
Well, you know, Keisha, since it's my turn, I'm going to go on and answer this one. And I'm going to keep it 1,000. It's like, to me, it's a blur. Because shit was moving so fast back then. You know what I'm saying? Your main thing back then was to at least get your money back what you spent.
First and foremost.
If you spent $3,500, you got to make that $3,500 back, like, for real first. My thing was, I'll never forget, the 1,200 metric bottles.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
The water used to come in these bottles that we used to call them metric bottles, the fat bottles. Anybody in Cleveland listen to this, they know. But they was $300 a bottle. And you can buy them. They'll sell you four for $1,200. And then you can sell the community mm-hmm. ounces. Mm-hmm. $100 bottles, $50 bottles, whatever. That was my thing. Okay. $1,200 at a time. I might do that twice a week.
And see, my thing was, this is how I actually had one. I was dealing with a guy. I was getting them, like, I was getting liters. And a half of, in a Mystic bottle. It was a liter.
That's the Mystic bottle. That's
the Mystic. Oh, the Mystic. The big Mystic. This was they was a, not a liter. Yeah, I think there was a liter. But all right, Mystic start giving you free 10% more, Tom. Oh. So look, he didn't even know. So I was getting 10% more off the Mystic bottle, but I was paying the same thing. So.
See, because you not understand what he's saying. See, he talking about the Mystic the drink, the company.
Okay.
They was giving you 10% more juice.
Juice.
But see, water is the liquid.
Yeah.
So if you're going to the dope man with that extra 10% bottle, the dope man don't know that he's pouring the liquid in there to fill up the 10% bottle, so he getting extra juice.
And I was getting extra juice at the time. Getting extra
PCP.
And that helped me discount my price a little bit because I was getting some for free. So what I was doing, you know, when everybody was going 250, I would go 225. You know what I'm saying? But I was still on the strip so I could sell my squares. You know what I'm saying? So I was selling ounces, squares. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this, what's the statute of limitations on this shit, man? Because she done got us open talking about.
Yeah, because we'll go there.
No, I think it's important because most people don't know.
So
exactly.
What you trying to get at, though, after we do all that, though?
Well, I'm just saying our audience doesn't know how the dope game works. All they know is
you're a drug dealer. About the dope game,
you
though.
Got in the system. You got caught. You went to jail. They don't know what happens in between. They don't know your market value. They don't know your product. They don't know, you know, your profit. They don't know.
They don't know any all. Of this they don't know all. The, so, so you mean? Important. So you mean that they don't know all the niggas that owe me? I had to beat up. You want to go there? You want to talk about all the ladies I had tricking for me for a little something, huh? All that.
Oh, wow.
No, don't wild now. You know what I'm saying? You want to know the in-between, because it's in-between. It ain't all glory and glam. Yeah. Am I lying, Rob? It's not.
I think it's important. It's not. I really think it's important.
Like, you talking a cool-ass tone, man. I ain't going to keep it fake on this mic now. Shit, for real.
Well, that's one of the main reasons.
I done bust niggas across their motherfucking head that owe me money. I done had girls turn tricks on my little weenie for some money. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you mean? I mean, I'm beyond that. You know, I'm 48 years old now.
And I'm glad you said that too, Tom, because the thing about it is, you know what I'm saying, we want to talk about our past and how you caught your first case.
Thank
and,
you.
And where you at right now in your life.
Thank
you.
You're
48 years old.
Yes.
Going towards 50. I know you're a dedicated barber.
Right.
And that's where you at right now. You know what I'm saying? Could you tell us a little bit more about
I'm glad you asked that, because you know we can go on forever with your co-host, but she just digs deep. But anyway, I changed my life to go back to it, to tell you the truth. And if anybody know, and Keisha, while she playing, she knows this. You can go down to the Toys Employment Office, they organization, and they got my plaque on the wall. Am I lying, Keisha?
Absolutely.
They got my plaque on the wall on how I changed my life and my story and my picture and everything.
Now we get into the good
part.
Do
you understand what I'm saying? So I'm proud of these accomplishments that I'll be making as a single, as my own man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Towards Employment, just to let the audience know, is an agency that caters to ex-offenders who come out of prison, giving them job skills, interview,
resume writing,
everything that a person would need is coming out of prison in order to obtain sustainable employment.
Hey, Keisha, not to get off subject, I mean, we're still on the same. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is my thing still down there? Because I would like to go see that.
Well, I haven't interned down there in about...
It's been a long time.
6 years, maybe. But when I left, it was still there.
Where is it located at?
It's downtown.
Towards Employment. I think I have it. You can Google it. Is Google it.
Yeah.
But back to this though, Tom, for real, because your transition from catching your case from being a...
And this what happened, Rob.
No. Let me just bring you in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what it's all about. This is what this podcast is about. You know, people like Tom, you know what I'm saying, who started off as...
Hey,
before this
interview, y'all going to call me cool ass like one time?
Cool ass. Come on, man. We don't have to. Your name is your name. That's the thing.
We're here to give you
That's why you up under that microphone, because we're here to give your flowers.
No doubt.
While you can still smell them. You know what I'm saying? You cool ass. We know who you are. This is a homage to you and everything you did. You know what I'm saying? That's why, you know what I'm saying, you are legendary status. You know what I'm saying? You a living legend. You know what I'm saying? Cool ass Tom. We know you. Your name is your name. You know what I'm saying? And everything you know what I'm saying, went through. And, you know, you paved the way for some of the youth.
I get that.
But we want to, you know what I'm saying, try to switch it up on them a little bit. So they don't have to see the middle part. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so they can go get the diploma. Boom. And then just start, you know, cutting hair or doing something fly like that. Because I love what you're doing. You cutting hair, you stay fresh, you know what I'm saying? You fly guy, you keep it on.
But I also, you know, just saying, last May, Rob, I also graduated from Tri-C.
No doubt. Oh, I seen you in your captain gown.
Keisha, you came to my graduation. Don't act like you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I seen you. I was going to school with you, actually, for a little bit.
Yeah.
I seen you in your captain gown, so.
I wasn't playing with it. Anybody thought I wasn't going to finish. But, yeah, I listened to you, Rob, because you're right. The start, the in-between, now they need to know the finish. And at the end of the day, I could just say, just don't give up. Like, for real. I don't care how old I am right now. Until I'm not breathing no more, I'm not going to stop trying to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. I'm in the midst of starting my event planning business. I knew it was going to take a while, man. You know, like, next month, couple months, I've graduated a year. I still ain't got the business off the ground. But at the end of the day, just to rewind a little bit, my thing was, I had to think. When I got out of jail, the first time, from what you robbed, I was out 54 days, and I caught another case with the water again.
Mm-hmm.
And my dude told me, like, Tom, we ain't doing it like that no more. You can't keep that shit in your pocket like that. And I caught this case on Mother's Day. You know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be my mama, but I'm out with these knuckleheads, serving water. We barbecuing in the back of an apartment building, and I'm supposed to be my damn mama. And I go to jail, you know what I'm saying, about the case. So the probation officer's like, well, you need to put yourself in the halfway house. So I'm like, fuck, I'm going to put myself in the halfway house, just make it easier, you know what I'm saying, 90 days or whatever. But I'm like, shit, I ain't been out 2 months. This judge going to send me back to jail. I start getting high again. I ain't going to lie. Mm-hmm. I start getting high, and then when I went to court one time, they pissed me. So that's a dirty urine. You know what I'm saying? But then I put myself in the halfway house, and then it took like a year. I go back to court. He's like, man, you know what? I was going to let you go. But you got a dirty urine. Mm-hmm. But I'm not mad. I'm like, man, you going to send me down any goddamn one. I might as well party. Okay. And nigga sent me back down. The second time only did 6 months. He sent me back down. So I'm in there. I'm like, man, you know what? This can't be me. At this time, I'm like, hey, better 35 or something. Because you got to think, I went to jail. My first bit, I was 28.
Yeah.
That was my first bit. I was 28 late, years old.
That's late in the game.
That's late in the game for me. But you got to think, I was on the run for 5 years and whatever, making a story. But then I get out. I'm like, damn, I got to wake up. Then the feds started hitting her on the low when Carl Money did that thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I ain't about to go down like this. And I swear, I put myself in barber college. I stopped smoking water. This was 16 years ago. And I stopped smoking water, put myself in barber college, and I left that shit alone. And as soon as I did, they came through the Huff and swooped up 30 niggas.
Congratulations. Congratulations, you know big bro. I got one question, though. Since you said you was out 54 days, this is something we like to ask our guests. So did being incarcerated stagnate you mentally? Because you said you got out and you was only out for 54 days. So were you stagnated mentally or to a point where you thought it was like when you went in?
Yes, and that's a great question. Yes, I was still stuck.
Yeah.
Stuck meaning I was still thinking everything was the same. But my dude told me it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. My dude came, which I should have known, my dude came, rest in peace, Toe. He came down to where I was locked up with, because I was already locked up. And I'm in the joint, because that's what it's like, you know, it's supposed to be a rehabilitation thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm so stuck, I'm like, man, when I get out, I'm going to grab me some Polo, some Tommy, and I'm going to keep it going, nigga. I'm going to just keep it going like I was. My dude, Tose, dude, they ain't wearing no Polo and Tommy out there no more. I said, shit, you got me fucked. They say, man, they ain't wearing Rockaway. That's when they transitioned to the urban gear. Man, they wearing Rockerwear and Nietzsche, nigga. Oh, I said, man, I ain't wearing that shit. I'm wearing Polo, Nautica, and Tommy. He's like, shit, you ain't going to be wearing that when you get out. But that let you know from the question that you asked, I was stuck, Rob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I ain't want to be the dude that get out and wearing Polo, Nautica, and Tommy. And these niggas, the urban gear had just blossomed. Mm-hmm. Wasn't no urban gear when I went to jail.
Right.
What happened? What happened, Keisha? I went with the flow. Here I go. Rockerwear Nietzsche. So I'm stuck. You know what I'm saying? So that answered his question that I went with the flow and I'm stuck. So I transitioned to catching that case in 54 days because I was going with the flow and I'm thinking everything was sweet still. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. Then when I got out from doing the 6 months, that's when I said, fuck it. I put myself in barber college. I'm like, shit, something got to change. And then another thing that made me stop getting high with weed and waters because I didn't want to be your average barber that you can come to and give me a sack or a stick and I'll cut your goddamn hair. No, you can give me the money and I'll go get my own shit.
I love it.
That was me. Yeah, I'm not, because I've always been like that. I've always been my own self, a sin trainer. What I'm trying to say?
Trendsetter.
But I was not going for that. Like, cause at the end of the day, I'm gonna have 50 squares on the table and 60 dime bags, and can't pay my booth rent. Nah, hell no. Nah. Mm-hmm. And that led me to having my own barbershop. You know, we're gonna say that too. I had my own barbershop for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? I've been cutting here for 16 years. You know what I'm saying?
Congratulations.
I just graduated from Tri-C. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go get my tow motors license because it's a couple dollars in that one too. Yeah, I'm really too big on the CDLs.
But that's all positivity. And, you know, we commend you, Tone, and we just going to continue to wear your jersey, be on the sideline, rooting for you, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, everything over here is authentic. So we just want to, I'm going to speak for the both of us and ask you, like, for anybody, you know what I'm saying, who's been to prison or any kids coming up who's thinking about getting in the game or selling heroin, PCP, or, you know, just you know, not dreaming properly or whatever, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say it like this, Rob and Keisha. Real talk, because it's kind of like, when you ask me that to say something to anybody or the youth, it's kind of emotional for me from where I came from, and I'm just going to keep it 1,000 with y'all. Because what y'all don't realize, I mean, y'all meaning you and Keisha, that I'm a barber, and I see all kind of walks of life come in this shop. I see, I'm really get salty about this because I see the community and I see the way they talk, the way they act and how they mamas raise them, or even the 40-year-old that think he 20, or the 30-year-old that think he 19, or the 50-year-old that's trying to be 40, you know what I'm saying? Or I even got the old school niggas that just stay in their lane. Mm-hmm. But it's a different generation, and I got to just stay where I'm at. And I talk like, you got to think, Rob, I ain't mean to take this too long, but I'm emotional about this one. Because my nigga, for real, is they all got their different minds. They don't want to, like, listen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so terrible, Rob. You're not in the profession that I'm in.
No,
it's,
I hear you.
It's
I hear you,
terrible. Man. They come in there musty, stinking. I consider myself a professional ass kisser because I want to, I cut your hair and I get you out there. You're like, oh, I want to say, nigga, get the fuck out of my chair and let's go. But I'm a counselor. Mm-hmm. Like, for real. I'm a counselor. I'm a daycare. Women come in that motherfucker, leave their kids in there for 2-3. So what you want me to say is, I only can say from my experience because I'm old school. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Just, I want to say follow your first mind, but who does that? You always get sidetracked. You know what I'm saying? So my advice is just stay focused.
No doubt.
No matter what you do, even if you did some right or some wrong, or you slipped, or you did the came back, just stay focused. That's all I can say. Just stay focused.
That's intricate.
Even if you getting high or you getting drunk, when you shake the drunkenness or you shake the highness, because it's going to be that point of day where you, it's going to be that little point of day that you got a peace of mind that you're not high, you're not drunk. Focus. That's all I can say. That's what I did. You know what I'm saying?
And that's all we asking from your standpoint, from your point of view, you know what I'm saying, from your transition, how you got from point A to your point B. You know what I'm saying? That's the advice I'm asking for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
let me throw this out there here, Rob. Let me throw this out there. Just another part of what you just asking me. And I swear, and I needed to throw this out here. I swear on everything I love, when I stop smoking PCP, because I'm a God-fearing man. I don't care about nothing else. I'm a God-fearing man. When I stopped smoking PCP, I said, damn, not God. See, I ain't smoking that shit no more. I ain't serving no more. Things about to be great. Here it is 16 years later. I'm cool. I'm comfortable, but I'm still struggling. Don't think it's all going to happen in no one day. It's not. And I thought that. I thought that shit was going to happen in one day. And everything, well, he see me now. I'm good. I'm about to have all the gifts and the prizes. And the, you know, no, there's still some shit that you got to work on. Self-preservation. You know what I'm saying, Rob? You have to self-preservation.
That's the first law of nature.
That's the first law of nature. You got to work on self, whether it's bad or it's good or whatever. It got to go. And I just want to thank y'all for having me. I really appreciate this. And anytime, it's a pleasure, so y'all can call me and I'll spit my story because I got a million of them.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of stuff upcoming with this, Tone. We're going to be watching videos. We're going to be doing feedback. And we're just going to be trying to build on it. And we do want you to be a part of, you know what I'm saying,
that'll
the
work.
Movement, man.
That'll work.
Because you are a part of it, you know what I'm saying?
The legend.
Nice. You're looking out, Tone. We appreciate having you. Keisha, do you want to tell them how they can find us or anything like that before we wrap it up?
They can find us on any podcast host, TuneIn, Player FM. We're everywhere. Wherever you get your podcast from. Look for the first case. We'll be there.
Okay, thank y'all. Peace out. This is the legendary Down the Way Ride. We brought y'all the legendary cool ass Tom.
All right, now.
Keish in the building, y'all. Peace, love.
No doubt.
1,000.